absolute scenes here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as the Tifo goes up behind the goal to our left. The likeness of a locomotive with the Atlanta United crest and the words MLS 3.0. We won't stop. We want more than Valentin is able to clear. Can Portland get on a counter here? No, as it's sent back to the top of the box. Joseph has the ball. Joseph takes a touch. Tavano shot. Here's an ambitious ball into the right side of the box for Blanco. Blanco cuts it at the end line, a header, saved by Guzan off the line. Almost the equalizer, Guzan makes a money save. Gressel stands to the left of the ball, Almirone to the right. This is to the extreme right of Antonella. Gressel fakes, Almirone sends it to the back post. Joseph, score! Careening in is Franco Escobar, and it's 2-0. Portland does not approach the ball. Parker sends it down the middle. It's going to bounce all the way into Antonella. Atlanta, it is over! This city has a champion, and it's Atlanta United, winners of the 2018 MLS Cup Final.
Goosebump City, man. Great job, Craig, taking Mike's play-by-play.
Atlanta, what's going on?
Jones, let me say United.
Oh, man. I tell you what, it is a feel-good Monday, and you should be feeling good. We all woke up champions today. Whenever one of our sports teams is able to accomplish what Atlanta United did, it's for everybody. And all those guys today on stage, and we're going to talk about the parade, and we'll talk about the match itself, and we will talk about the future of Atlanta United here on Dukes and Bell. But they all acknowledge the one thing, and that's the 17s. That's us. That is the crowd and the audience and the soccer fans and just the regular casual fans who got behind this team. And this is a movement. You know, we talk about our show being a movement. This is truly a movement. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you guys on a celebration Monday, a championship Monday. And Mike, I'm going to hand this over to you because, you know, when these things happen, you try to take it all in. And for most everybody, the 73,000, once this match was over on Saturday, we stayed and we watched and we cheered and we stayed. And that was the cool part of winning this championship. But if, you know, you go, well, how do you describe this? Because that's what people have been asking
me. Yeah, I mean, as we said, I know that if you're not a soccer fan, it doesn't mean you can't be a part of an Atlanta celebration. I mean, that's one thing which I think we're all starting to communicate to folks. But for those that have been in since day one, it was just such a joy. I mean, literally tears of joy, people crying in our section. I know you said, how can you cry over a team that's only been around 2 years? Because it really seemed late in the season like we weren't going to be able to get it done. This team just got so resilient, Carl. They found some clutch. And then, as we said, through NYCFC, through Red Bulls, and then Portland, it was just as it's happening. When Escobar scores that second goal,
amazing. You're like,
and then all of a sudden, I had a flashback to when I was watching the Rangers in 94. We got 40 minutes. We got to hang on. So it was just unbelievable. Crowd, everyone hugging, high-fiving, nobody wanting to leave. The trophy, Gressel bringing it over to the supporters section. And then today, Carl, at the parade, I was at the corner of Peachtree and Baker, and everybody just assembled going bananas. A half hour before the parade, the Atlanta United chants going down, everybody singing, laughing, having a blast. I mean, as I said, if soccer confuses you, it's not embarrassing. Ask questions. Get on board. There's plenty of room on the boat. It's a blast.
It is about winning chips. We've talked about it on this show. We want all of our teams to compete for chips. We just won one. Hopefully there are many more in our future. We want to win one with the Falcons, and hopefully that's on the way. The Hawks are building. We know that. The Braves got into the playoffs 3 years after we said, wait till Cobb, and now it's wait till Cobb. They are ready, and hopefully they improve themselves this week with the winter meetings going on as Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, maybe makes some deals that we'll be talking about. But at the end of the day, this is a team, Mike, that has been built the right way, and that gets back to Arthur Blank allowing the people who are running the organization to do what they do. He talked about it with us. You asked him the question about Darren Hills last week and finding him and hiring him and Carlos Bocanegra and the guys that are in charge of this organization. So we're in a really good spot. I know that, you know, the expansion draft is coming and we've got some contractual things we'll talk about with Atlanta United. But at the end of the day, I think we're only going to improve on our personnel that is already here. And that is a good thing. So just think about it in this way, that as much as excitement as we had this year, it could even be better next year.
And that's the thing. I mean, we talked a lot about this. And again, a lot of this has to do, unfortunately, the Falcons season has taken a turn. It's gone, obviously, a way that none of us expected back in August. So now, as a fan, I can't wait for United. I can't wait for whatever road trip will go on in preseason, Carl, in February and March before we load up, to be quite honest with you. I mean, some of us are looking forward to maybe booking a trip to Costa Rica as part of the CONCACAF Championship. I mean, it's become my number one sports obsession. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm hoping, as we said, Falcons and everything you just laid out. I think the Braves are next. I think the Falcons got some major soul searching to do in this offseason. It's already started with some of the things we saw on Sunday.
Love to hear from you guys. If you were at the parade today, again, text us, tweet us. We want to see your pictures. A lot of folks sharing, obviously, via social media, and rightfully so. It's 929 The Game. That's the radio station. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so. 929 The Game, and also follow us on Instagram and the Twitter. Twitter is Mike Bell, ATL. That's Mike. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We'd love to get a chance to see what your day was like. And I know, again, the weather, it didn't cooperate. We didn't care, all right? It didn't matter. We had a good time at this parade today. Everybody that was sharing stuff earlier this morning with me is like, we don't care, Dukes. We're out here having a good time, chanting, having a good time.
And my wife today, she's literally, because we're up in New York and we're down here, and you know, temperature changes. You know, this is the time of year when you get to cold. You get hot, you get cold. And the wife is literally like, I think I'm going to go back to the house, because she was obviously feeling sick as a dog. But I got a chance to see the start of the parade, to walk with it. And just, I mean, the energy was just electric. So, yeah, you may have seen some of the coverage. I was going back and forth between FS1 and our buddy Zach over on SB. But, I mean, it just looked great for the city. I mean, it just, the visuals look great. It's just another reason for everybody around the world of MLS to hate our guts, because we do everything big time.
And I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that.
We are now, and Alexi Lawless was on our show Thursday. I know you guys have heard the interview by now. Super club. We are a super club. We got the juice. And isn't that fun to be part of a winner? So it just, like I said, it's a different kind of celebration, because I get it, Carl. For some fans that have been Braves fans since the 60s and three generations of that, or three generations of Falcon fans,
sure,
maybe you don't have that emotional equity built in because it's so new. But it doesn't diminish the people like you and I and everyone else who got in on the ground floor with United. We get to enjoy what we got.
And the other part of this is, you know, we all have various things going on in our life. One doesn't substitute the other, right?
Right.
It doesn't have to take the place. So as much as I was into Atlanta United on Saturday night and throughout the course of this season and winning it, feeling good, waking up Sunday morning, Sunday at noon, I was all about the Falcons, right? And then when baseball rolls around in the spring, I'm going to be all about the Braves. And as we, you know, close out football season in a few weeks, I'm going to be all about the Hawks. It doesn't have to substitute what we already love. You can love something else along with what you already love. So that's the part that I want to communicate. Listen, I'm done trying to convince people and tell people what this is, how cool it is, how much fun it is. I'm done. If you don't want to get involved, don't get involved. But there's no reason why you can't also like something else on top of the fact of the things you already love.
Right on. I mean, you know, we always thought about, you know, hockey. We wish we were a four-sport town. Well, hockey didn't get traction for a number of reasons. That ship has sailed. We are a four-sport team. Our town, I should say, involving soccer. We've got the best team. We've got the sexiest franchise in the entire Western Hemisphere. Think about that. I mean, we're talked about in Europe. If you're not a soccer fan, go, who gives a crap about Europeans? But if you are a soccer fan, we got more juice than Mother Goose right now, and it's global. That's what's so cool about it.
All right, guys, we got plenty to get to this afternoon. As you know, usually a Falcon Monday, and it is, but it's also a championship Monday, because we don't want to take anything away from Atlanta United. But that means Dan Quinn's presser coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. It also means Coach Quinn sitting down with The Voice, Wes Durham, and Dave Archer, and the player segment in the 4 o'clock hour. We believe it's going to be Foye Aluakin who is going to sit down and be the player segment today. We got some issues. We've got some real things to discuss with our Falcon football team. And, you know, for me, Mike, it starts with attention to detail. We take this for granted, but I still think it is the number one reason why teams continue to have success, long-term sustainable success, is that they pay attention to detail. We talk about Belichick, for example, and the Patriots, and they lost yesterday on a miraculous play. But the reason that they do have the success they've had is because no matter the players, no matter the coaches, it's attention to detail. And when you look at our team right now, you can tell me about the injuries all you want and the players that are not on the field, but Mike Bell, we're not a good football team because we're not paying attention to the small stuff.
No, man. Penalty after penalty. I mean, penalties negating big plays, not holding on to footballs. You know, I mean, and if Matt's off, we got no chance. I mean, if Matt can't make accurate throws, we got no chance in this mix. I mean, the guys we're supposed to rely on, you know, not making plays. Calvin Ridley was so great early on with those six touchdowns and has really, I got to be honest with you, really got me scratching my head as to what's going on here. And I hope that that gets corrected this season. I hope we can wait till next year to figure that out. But the offensive line, I mean, you gave Schrader a contract in 16 and now he's benched. So, I mean, these are the things that I worry about. We struggle with the cap. We do our best trying to explain how the cap works. And I'm sure that Thomas and those guys, and Thomas won't be going anywhere, and Dan Quinn won't be going anywhere. I got a feeling some assistants will be made sacrificial lambs in the offseason. But I don't think anyone of high note is going to be off this team. But, I mean, but big picture, Carl, they had a lot of work to do, man, a lot of work.
Well, that's the thing. And if you went into this season, like most of us, thinking, well, we're a pretty good football team and healthy, you know, I still believe that. But now, not being healthy, we shouldn't be this bad. Bottom line, we just shouldn't be as bad as we are showing right now. And you're going to say, well, why is that? Well, the penalties. I mean, Deion Jones, I love him. He dropped two picks yesterday. The offensive line. Various holding calls throughout the afternoon that negated big plays all afternoon. Why? That's attention to detail. It's the little things that should be coached up, Mike, and brought forward that are not right now because the culture is such that it's not allowing that to happen. Dan Quinn said this, and I'm going to let this go. Quinn said, and I want to make sure I'm getting this right. Hold on.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. I had to cut and paste, too.
Our style is clearly not carrying over into our game day. Why? Why? All the things we talk about, why is it not carrying over? So for everything that we want to discuss about our Falcon football team right now, it is time to put the onus on somebody on that coaching staff, specifically Dan Quinn, because we are not this bad. The football players on the field are not this bad, but yet we're not playing like it.
And again, we don't use the quit word. We don't use the Q word here on the show about the team, but it's hard to get your head around as a Falcon fan what you're seeing. You know, we're just a bad team. We're as bad as the New York Jets. We're as bad as the Buffalo Bills. We got Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. We got all these wide receivers who are healthy. We got two defensive backs, corners making over what they had went all together is about $60 million in guaranteed money that they got in the form of signing bonus and guaranteed. And one guy said out on the field is they kind of kicked the tires on Isaiah Oliver, which was planned, by the way. And we'll talk more about that. But, I mean, I just don't know what the heck's going on. You know, I don't trust the personnel department to get it right because when the offensive line was patched together with a guy like Fusco and he can't stay healthy, we got no depth at O-line. We're throwing Tyler Sombrello out there. You know, we got Garland had to go back in yesterday. I mean, we can't compete in the NFL with that kind of talent.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Penalties, mistakes, turnovers. You want to know our identity? And I talk about this every year. 2016, you know what it was? Offense. Offense. Our offense was our best defense. Teams couldn't keep up. Took us to the Super Bowl. Our identity this year is mistakes, penalties, turnovers. That's who we are, and that's why we're 4-9. We're going to talk about it plenty along the way, but we're also talking about Atlanta!
United!
Congratulations, guys. And we are champions, guys. Atlanta, we are champions. Jump on, man. It's real. We got a lot to get to. Headlines next on Dukes and Bell.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday. It's a championship Monday here in Atlanta and on Sports Radio 92.9, the game you're home for, Atlanta United. And we're happy about it, man. We're happy that our team was able to come through in the biggest moment of the season. We're going to talk about it, continue to talk about it throughout the course of the afternoon. A couple of big shout-outs. You said you saw Darren Ills. Now, for those who are new to this, Darren is the orchestrator of putting this team together and certainly helped building what we've come to know as Atlanta United. But he joins our show each and every week and has throughout the soccer season and even in the offseason. And Darren was in the parade today. Mike, you said you got a chance to see him. So big shout out to Darren, Carlos Bocanegra, who comes on, all the players throughout the course of the season that we've gotten to know on a personal level and certainly, you know, cheering those guys on a weekly basis. But it's just good to see these guys get to the epitome of the sport.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Darren in the back. I'm like, Darren and Matt Moore, by the way, who does PR and does a great job, was driving the car, helps us out with all the players and does a great job. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Arthur. And then the bus came rolling up and you see Julian Julian Gressel with the cup, along with, I mean, it was so cool, by the way.
What's up, Julian?
LGP and Brad right there at the top, back of the bus. Miggy, look, always like Miggy, looks like he's a 60-year-old kid, wide-eyed, you know. It's like, let me see your ID. But Miggy at the back of the bus with, and then Tito gets a hold of some, one of the guys, I think, I forget which group has that drum that he stole. So he's just wailing on the drum the whole time up on stage. It was just so funny. And to see Tata animated, and I mean, great. I mean, really was a blast. So again, for folks to follow the team, it was a lot of fun. And for folks who don't, imagine how many people you're watching WSB at like 11 o'clock, whatever's normally on at 11. You're like, what the hell is this? What am I watching?
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat to see it get the coverage on all the local affiliates.
A nice job by the city, too. Obviously, this was announced immediately after we won on Saturday night. Parade, join us Monday. So nice job by the city, the quick turnaround and the job on the parade route, because this is something Mike and I had debated. Not with you guys, because we didn't want to jinx anything.
Right, right.
But we had talked privately about where this parade should be and what made sense. This was perfect.
Right. You know, based on where, you know, Atlanta is and how many fans we've got, I thought it was a perfect spot and way to do things. And for guys that were wondering, yes, we'd like to have had better weather. That probably would have helped out more people there at the in the Home Depot backyard, because it was cold and rainy by the time things got rolling. But certainly, Carl, you have to remember, we had to move the high school football championships, which I know irked some people, but that was unfortunately the reality of where it goes. You got concerts, there's events going on. So it couldn't be moved later this week. It really had to be today. And unfortunately, the weather did not cooperate, but that didn't dampen the spirits of those that were there.
All right, man. More on Atlanta United coming up. Also, as we mentioned, Jason Longshore is going to join us in less than 20 minutes, analyst for our Atlanta United. He's joined us all season long, and now that the task is complete, we do have some things we need to talk with Jason about. As I mentioned, expansion draft coming up, and also, you know, some contract stuff that we need to discuss as our captain. And by the way, hell of a play by Parkhurst, man, to set up the goal. I mean, we can talk about, and don't get me wrong, I love Joseph Martinez. He is a bad man. But the setup, Mike, the tackle was brilliant,
yeah.
The timing. And he put it in a place where Joseph was able to work with it. But I just don't want anybody – we all get caught up in the goal scoring. That was amazing by Parkhurst.
And for Portland fans that were complaining and crying about everything, man, we had to go cross country. Well, win more games next year, okay?
Did you see that little section up there, by the way?
Yeah, they got drowned out. When Joseph scored that first goal, a pall just goes over it. And then when Escobar hit it, I mean, people were going bananas. The chants just got fired up. But I was hitting a guy on Twitter. Eventually, I think he blocked me because he's like, yeah, you're not fair. I go, well, don't let our oldest player steal the ball from your best player.
Yeah.
Hello. You know what I mean? And then obviously, we're so clutch. That's the thing. And that's the one thing which, I mean, it brings the conversation back to the Falcons and to the other teams in this town. I mean, you can't manufacture it. You can't quantify it. You can't find a stat for it. Either you got the clutch gene or you don't. And this team at times looked like they lacked it down the fall stretch, and then they got it back when it mattered most.
Yeah, I also think, Mike, though, you got to have the best players. We got the best players.
Hell yeah.
This mix of guys and the way that they've worked together, we got the best team. And I think that, you know, it shows out by winning the championship. But we'll talk more about it. But, yes, a lot more to get to with Jason Longshore. Bo Morgan producing the show. Craig behind the glass today. And I know you were there. You enjoyed it. Craig's a huge soccer fan, guys. Watches it internationally and obviously here in the U.S. But I know you were going crazy, too.
It was insane. The one thing I compared to is in the 80th minute, you could feel the stadium start to feel like we believe, like we can win this.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like if anybody's ever seen Miracle, the last minute when they're trying to waste the time, that's what it felt like the last 10 minutes. You're like, please, just don't mess this up, guys. And it was just an amazing – our section just lost their mind. It was so much fun.
I kept looking at a lady across the aisle from me. That I was not familiar with. And every time Brad made a save, because there were tons of them at the end of this match,
right.
And I kept looking at her like, okay. You know, because you kept thinking, all right, this isn't going to stop. They're going to keep trying to score here. I mean, this thing's not over. And it was like, okay, we can't, you know, you're finding people to get that eye contact with to kind of go, okay, it's all right. It's all right. You know, you're not saying anything, but you're like, it's okay. It's okay. We're all right. Okay, another safe. We're all right.
Dude in our section, because, again, MLS controlled the tickets. It went through Ticketmaster, and we had first refusal. And I was trying to, at a Dan Quinn press conference a few weeks ago, get my tickets while I was sitting in the press conference. So didn't get to be in my regular seat, so everyone was kind of getting reoriented with all the people in our section. So I had a total stranger next to me, total strangers to the left, and we're all hugging. Everybody's going bananas. It was just one great communal vibe.
All right, man. Your thoughts, again, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Right now, though, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Can you give me the final call just one more time?
It's going to bounce all the way out to Antonella. Atlanta, it is over. This city has a champion, and it's Atlanta United, winners of the 2018 MLS Cup Final.
I felt good when it was 1-0, Mike, but you're right. When we going up 2-0, forget about it. We were controlling the match.
Oh, how about the Escobar touch, though, man? I mean, that dude. And remember, we went round and round early in the season. Like, I don't get this Escobar. He turns it over too much. I don't understand. And then you see the brilliance in his game when he presses up and can make a play like that. I mean, it was just so much fun to watch. Miggy had that amazing kick. If you didn't see it, where he goes up in the air and almost gets the goal. Great save. So there's so many exciting moments. And then Brad wasn't really called on much, but that one was a laser right at him, and he made it. Got it with his big oven mitts.
Michael Parkhurst, guys, finally gets a chance to lift the trophy. He'd been a part of these MLS Cups numerous times in his career, and now he is a champion.
You know, I've dreamed of what it felt like to be in the locker room with the champagne. I've heard it before from the other locker room. Oof, it was worth the wait. It was special to be in there.
It really was. And the celebration, it didn't stop. I mean, it seems like it went on. I saw people on social media saying they had rooms downtown, and there were like people in the streets chanting. That's what winning a championship is about.
Outside Cypress, hearing the Atlanta chants at like 1:30 in the morning, man. I mean, it was unbelievable. As soon as we got back, because it took a minute to get out of the parking, and because we rolled in, I came right from the airport to get to the game.
Well, it was raining, too.
Yeah, it was pouring. Got back, and it looked so cool on TV, you know, to watch it on the big box, as we heard from Alexi Lalas, Homer Simpson box. It was great. And Alexi sticking up for us. Anytime anybody threw some shade about officiating or Portland this or Portland that, Alexi is a big advocate for the A.
He understands what a super club is. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Coach Quinn, what went wrong yesterday?
Times of not getting stops or, long spots where, you know, not converting and getting to the scores and definitely, the self-inflicted mistakes. You know, they're just too difficult to overcome.
Yeah, we are going to hear from Coach Quinn coming up in the 3 o'clock hour with his live presser. And this is ugly. I mean, you're talking about 5 in a row. The National Football League, with the importance every week of how big these games are, this is an ugly stretch. The one thing that I'll take away from yesterday, and listen, there are some positives, okay? I get it. At the end of the day, though, I'm about wins and losses. I'm not trying to build morality with guys on a football team and tell me how good they'll be in 3 years. Wins and losses. We lost, and we continue to lose. But Julio Jones, guys, 5 consecutive 1,400-yard receiving seasons. First man in NFL history to do that. So through the turmoil, through the suckiness, all right, here's a guy that we talked a lot about who continues to produce. Now, my problem with this is great, but we still should get him the rock more. We still don't get him the ball enough. With all of that said, his 97 receiving yards per game over the course of his 8-year career is the best in NFL history. We've said this. Julio Jones stays healthy. He's on his way to a Hall of Fame-type career. The thing is, as Mike has said, now's the time. We're squandering away guys like this who are producing like crazy, our stars' careers, because we can't find the necessary pieces.
Right. You don't have a running game. We did go for over 100, by the way, so that was accomplished, albeit in a loss. And, I mean, just, you know, the things when you got Julio and you've got these weapons – and you've got a Pro Bowl center snapping the ball into the motion, man. I mean, these are the mistakes that you cannot.
That's little league stuff.
I told Carl earlier, the last time I've seen that happen, the guy snapping the ball was me, 9th grade, Wantagh Junior, middle school, because that's how bad an athlete I was. I was the only guy that could do the long snap, Carl. And Pat Young, he did hut, and I snapped it right into Billy Regan's knees, which was not the way the play was designed. So, that's just comical to the point where you just got to laugh when you see it. Matt Ryan, for guys who think Matt doesn't care or Matt's aloof, Matt is passionate. Matt was losing his mind after that. And you saw it if you're watching it on Fox.
Well, let's hear from Matt Ryan, our quarterback, talking about playing these last 3 games out.
I really don't care what the stakes are. Right. You want to win, and you want to feel that momentum. And that's what our mindset has to be. We've got to catch some momentum and start winning some football games. We're capable of it. You know, that's the hardest part, is that we're capable of doing it, but we have to be the ones to correct it.
More on the Falcons coming up here. It's a Championship Monday. It is a Falcon Monday as well, as coming off of a Sunday. Green Bay beats our Falcons yesterday, 34-20. We go up 7-0, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe we show up.
Philbin uses both of his challenges early on some great catches, good footwork by Julio. So I'm thinking, hey, here we go. Philbin's in Philbin mode like he was with the Dolphins. Unfortunately, we just let the Packers go right back the field the other way. And then the mental mistakes. We talked about the holding penalties. We talked about Debo dropping interceptions, piling on like it's WWE Battle Royal. Just some bad looks for the team, man. And, you know, it's one thing if you got the, you know, the guy who's, okay, if a Neesman does it, a veteran or a guy who's a leader on this team, shouldn't be that guy.
Coming up, guys, we'll talk more about what happened over the weekend with the Heisman Trophy. I know a lot of people were stunned that
You and I weren't.
No. Kyler Murray has played terrific all year. I think some people were ignoring the numbers, and they thought the Alabama, you know, brand and the logo was going to carry to a Heisman. It did not. We will talk plenty about that along the way. But also, the introduction of Jeff Collins on Friday. And Randy Mack was in for you. We talked about it all afternoon, what the hire meant.
Tech people happy with it?
I think so. Everybody seems to be on board with this because he's a guy that, again, is familiar with the circumstances. But in his presser, which was supposed to be at 5 and 5:30, then 6, 6:30. I'm not making this up. They kept moving it back. His flight got delayed. But once he was finally introduced, he talked about what kind of offense and defense Tech will run.
We're going to play in an NFL-based offense and an NFL-based defense. The guys that are in this program, we are committed to helping them have life after college. And for the young men that are in this program, part of that life after college is going to be playing at the next level.
Yeah, you know, that's music to Georgia Tech fans' ears, and we talked about it. They tried a few years ago to market to get some of the casual fans, people that live in the city, to go down there. But first things first, get your fan base fired up, and then more people will come down there, make it a destination. Look, whatever your mission statement is, Carl, how many championships you think you can compete for, let's at least have a fun style of ball where you're competing each week.
Sounds like they will. Jeff Collins, welcome home. He's from Georgia. Hey, coming up, Jason Longshore joins us, guys, as we discuss Atlanta United's victory Saturday night.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
It's time for our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, let's spend some time with the analyst. And Jason's been on the United broadcast here for the last few years. It's great to see this culminate with the championship. And, Jason, I know it's been a long journey. We asked you this the other day, you know, seeing soccer at high school stadiums to see what it's grown to professionally here in Atlanta. And then today to actually have a parade. I got to ask you first before we get into some of the stuff we need to talk about our team. How did it feel for you?
I honestly can't put it into words. I took so many pictures and video and tweeted a few out and threw a few up on Instagram. And I've got more to look at. There were more people at the parade and at the rally than would go to a whole season of professional soccer back when I first started getting into it. So just to see that and be able to kind of feel it and have so many people come up to the car and, you know, just thank Mike and I and thank Jimmy and Mena for everything that they do and thank the station for everything that the station's done for the game in this town. You know, just to be part of that, I don't know how to describe it. I really don't.
It looked great. It was fun to be a part of. Saw you guys go rolling by, and you guys are from the start up there at Baker and Peachtree all the way down to the backyard at Home Depot. It was just such a collective celebration as the fans and all the support groups there on the street. Some of the shots that you and Mike posted just looked so good. Here's the thing, though, brother. Back to work. When do we get our new coach? Who's that guy going to be? Is it as reported, coming from South America?
There's a few names floating out there right now. Guillermo Barros-Skelotto has been the one that has had the most traction for the longest period of time. His Boca Juniors squad just came up short in the Copa Libertadores final to their big rivals, River Plate. So Skelotto had said he's not renewing his contract. It's up at the end of December. They, I think, have a couple more matches before the summer break in Argentina, being in the other hemisphere and all. So he's a possibility, and he's a player who knows the league. He played for Columbus. He won MLS Cup with the Columbus Crew in 2008. There's a couple other names that have been popping up, though, and one is Jorge Sampaoli, who managed Argentina at the last World Cup, which did not go well. And there was a lot of talk about him in that tournament. I think he's a very good fit for a project like this, though, because he's a guy that is a better fit at the club level or a national team that he can kind of mold and fit a system around. Argentina, with the soap opera that team is, it was a little difficult for him to step in and try to fix it. And it just failed at the World Cup. I don't think he's a bad choice at all. He's a name that I keep looking at based off what he's done at the club level in the past and what he did with the Chilean national team previously.
We are trying to enjoy, and we will continue to enjoy, this championship. But that also means, you know, business has to continue. Mm. And for our soccer team guys, they've got some decisions to make. We're talking with Jason Longshore. Sunday, we find out that they have declined the contract option of five players, including captain Michael Parkhurst. But we believe, and I'm saying this for me, you tell me what you think, they're going to ultimately keep Parkhurst. They're just going to have a new deal. Is that what we're looking at?
That's what I would lean to as well. I don't think they want to see him play anywhere else. I don't think he wants to play anywhere else. I don't think he's in a position where he's thinking about hanging it up either. I think winning MLS Cup is energizing to him. He didn't sound like a guy saying goodbye today, right, at the parade and at the rally. So I think it's just figuring out the logistics and figuring out the number. There is a situation going forward, though, where you're going to have to start to transition from Jeff Larinowicz, who you re-upped with, and Michael Parkhurst, who I think you will re-up with, because you have young talent coming through, and those guys, you know, have put some miles on the legs. So does Miles Robinson split more time at center back next year? Mm-hmm. Does Chris Goslin, a young homegrown player, does he start to see some time in the middle of the field, giving Larinowicz more of a spell? I think you're going to see less minutes for those two, but I think they're still very important to this team going forward.
It is our man Jason Longshore basking in the warm afterglow of our championship, the MLS title for Atlanta United today. Just an amazing time downtown. All right, what about Pity Martinez? First things first, Miggy must go to Europe, and we're waiting. When does that happen? Transfer window, explain how that works to guys who don't follow.
Well, the transfer window in Europe will open January 1st, and it'll run through the end of January for most European leagues. There's a few that the dates differ a little bit, but you're going to start hearing about that talk really ramping up now that the Atlanta United season is over and all the rumors and things will get going. There's quite a few clubs he's been linked to, mostly in England, and I'm not really surprised by England just because that's where most of the money is right now in European soccer. That's where, you know, he would get the biggest contract, and it's where Atlanta would get the biggest transfer fee, and that all does play into it. I think right now you're in that element where you don't have to sell, but I think Miguel Almiron does want to test himself in Europe. So I'd be surprised if he's back, but if the offer's not there, and this is where Atlanta's in a really unique position in Major League Soccer, if the offer is not what Darren Eales and Arthur Blank and Carlos Bocanegra want, they don't have to sell. And I don't think Miguel's going to be too angry about sticking around either if that is what it comes down to. But I think everybody wants to see him have that opportunity in Europe.
We're talking with Jason Longshore here on Dukes and Bell, guys, recapping what the season was, obviously, and talking about Saturday night, but also looking ahead to what may happen with our club. The expansion draft for Cincinnati is going to be at 2 o'clock Tuesday. Protecting players, how does that work, and how many guys do we potentially lose in this expansion draft?
Well, you can only lose one. So off of your unprotected list, Cincinnati can only pick one player from a team. They're going to pick five players in total, and there are a few teams that are exempt. If a team lost a player to LAFC last year, mm-hmm, that team can't lose a player to Cincinnati this year. So Atlanta United's list is out. No major surprises. Probably the one that jumped out to most people was Jeff Larinowicz being unprotected. Mm-hmm. Look, in these expansion drafts, I think a lot of times you look at the list of names and you're like, oh, that guy played 3,000 minutes. That guy scored these goals. That guy was a big, important player. What Cincinnati's trying to do, it's the same thing Atlanta did a couple of years ago. You're trying to find good contracts. You're generally trying to find younger players that you can work with for quite a while, or you're trying to find pieces that you can trade, okay, and you're trying to get assets. So you're not going to see Cincinnati, in my opinion, lean towards a player like Larinowicz. Now, a Mikey Ambrose would be a player that would make a lot of sense. He's a guy who's on a very good contract in terms of salary cap. He's a guy that's shown he can play as a starter in this league.
Right.
He would make a lot of sense, and he would be a player you could build around and potentially get a contributor at a good salary number.
It is Jason Longshore. We're kind of already looking ahead because, as we said, it's one of the shortest off seasons in all major sports before we're right back at it. So Larenowitz, age 35, by the way, for guys that were curious. So also the younger dudes, George Bello, we saw him obviously contribute. And, you know, Andrew Carlton. I mean, in addition to all the other pieces which may come up from South America, that pipeline continuing, we've got a real great system in place, don't we?
Yeah, that's the other balancing act for the new manager is George Bello is going to have to play next year. He's going to have to play some significant minutes. And Greg Garza, we saw his importance as he came back ahead of the playoff stretch run. So how do you balance that side of it? Carlton, if you do go get a PT Martinez, if that does happen, and PT Martinez talked about Atlanta United yesterday after the Copa Libertadores final, the president from River Plate has talked about Atlanta United. Nothing's done yet because nothing's been announced, but sounds like things are moving in the right direction there. Okay, then what does that mean for Carlton? What does that mean for Barco? You know, he's going to play more minutes next year. There are a lot of talented pieces in this team, and there's only 11 guys who start. So I'm going to be very curious to see how the rotation goes next year. Do you see more of a regular rotation? You're going to have to early on because of CONCACAF Champions League.
Jason, this also, and we were talking about this as we started the show today, the idea that, you know, we scored all these goals, we set all these records, but the team could actually be better next year, right? I mean, everyone wants to come here and play. We obviously could add some additions to what we already have, but what you're saying, in essence, is, you know, with the firepower we have, depending on what plays out, again, and you talk about the transfer window, but there's a chance we could have more of a firepower next year moving into the MLS season than we had going into this year.
100%. Because you're in a situation now with what Atlanta United's built in 2 years. If you're a soccer player in South America and you have offers to go to different leagues around the world, period. This is not even a, well, you're not going to go to a top league. You players who are mentioned going to top leagues now have to consider Atlanta United as a very good destination for them to be in, because you're going to play in front of one of the greatest fan bases in the world, period. One of the biggest fan bases in the world, period. We see the numbers. They match up. You're talking top 20 attendance in the world. You're talking about playing for an owner that everybody loves. You're talking about playing for a club that you know is going to spend and bring in a top flight manager. They have a top flight training ground. Everything's first class. So if you're a player who could go to, you know, a mid-tier premiership team that would probably be playing in front of 25,000 fans a week, a mid-tier Italian team or a mid-tier Spanish team, or Atlanta United, Atlanta United looks really good right now around the world.
Not to mention for the South American players, a quality of life, a quality of living, because it's not the most expensive place compared to some of the things you just mentioned as well. Hey, Jason, real quick before we cut you loose, I know that Portland got snarky, their fans complaining about the travel. Well, again, they didn't win enough games. Alexi Lalas, we joked earlier, was sticking up for us. The foul which set up the set piece. Because remember, set piece is not really our strong suit, and ironically, we scored the second goal off a set piece. What do you think of that?
The foul, yeah, I've seen a lot of complaints about that foul. That's, you're looking for something to complain about. I mean, I thought Alan Kelly called the game really well and didn't call a lot of fouls and let the players decide this. But that's one where Mabiala is coming from behind him. It's a high kick, and he just runs over the Atlanta player. I mean, it's an obvious foul. There's really nothing to complain about. Set pieces, it's funny. We talked about set pieces a lot in 2017. This year, Atlanta United scored a number of goals off of set pieces and defended them very well. And Joseph, just the unselfishness of Joseph Martinez, nobody would have faulted him for going for a more difficult header on that near post. He flicks it on, does exactly what you're supposed to do, and Franco Escobar slams it home on the back post.
It was beautiful. It really was. Beautiful game, Jason. It's a beautiful game. Hey, man, appreciate you, not just today, as Mike and I have told you, on a personal level, all year long, going above and beyond and bringing more soccer knowledge to the ATL and soccer fans here. Thank you so much. We look forward to what this offseason brings and what the new season as well.
I appreciate it, guys. We're going to have plenty to talk about in the offseason with all kinds of things to be keeping an eye on.
Coming up, guys, we will get to an NFL blitz. Patriots lose on one of the craziest plays
right on.
Ever.